on this Saturday of the second week, just about the turning point of Advent. You know, like tomorrow, we start a whole new preface. You'll recognize it when you hear it, you know. The Virgin Mother bore him in her womb with love beyond all telling, and John the Baptist made him known when at last he came. That's the preface for the last 2 weeks. So this is a sort of a turning point. And we have here Elijah, a figure who in the Jewish tradition, you see, encapsulated in the book of Malachi, the last part of Malachi, you know, the angel coming to prepare the way. Elijah is supposed to come and make the people ready for the coming of the Messiah. Now, who is this Elijah? You just heard in the book of Sirach, you can read about him yourself in the book of Kings, you see, and see and how he suffered, this man. His main task was to turn the people from a state-sponsored idolatry to a fidelity to the Lord. And he paid for it. It was to get the people back to God. And that was his, the Lord called him, if you remember the whole story, and then he went, lived down in the wadi there in the by the creek, and the ravens brought him food, and then he went over and lived over in Lebanon, and a widow took care of him, and there was a famine for 3 years, no rain, because Elijah said there's going to be no rain. Bingo. Why that? Don't you see God's mercy turning us back when everything's comfy, you know? We just as soon stay here forever. Have enough money, enough friends, enough health, but stay here forever. But this isn't where we belong. We belong with God forever. And so to live and believe and obey God and love Him, that's what it's all about in this life. Well, they weren't doing it, and we aren't doing it either. And so Elijah came along to confront the culture. And he did it with great love and great zeal, and sometimes pretty rugged ways, like stopping the rain for 3 years, or killing all the prophets of Baal. I mean, he had some pretty... But he himself suffered a lot. He was persecuted. He finally said one day to the Lord, I've had it. Just kill me, will you please? Just, I've had it. I'm tired. Or, you know, because the state wanted to kill him. The state was summed up in dear old Jezebel, who worshipped the Baals. It's nice to be an idolater, because you see that means your religion is under your control. And that's the danger when culture absorbs faith, huh? That God is no longer God, he's an idol. It's something we do. We pay reverence to God, whoever he is. But we don't obey him. And so you see, this gospel and this reading are meant to say, well, we're halfway through Advent. Have you had a conversion yet? You know, are you still dominated by the culture? The word, the values, the fears, the pleasures, the distractions, the goals of the culture, are they yours? Well, read the gospel and see if they square up. Forgive your enemies. Do good to those who persecute you. Take care of the poor. You know, pray, listen, worship. And so we have this reading, these two readings about Elijah, to wake us up. Now we're called, you know, to have great love. When I lived in Israel, and I was working very hard to build up a charismatic renewal, one of my goals, besides helping all the Palestinian Christians, especially the Catholics, not only the Catholics, not really, to become renewed, to be a force in the country. You see? And I used to say to them, listen, the Jews are very smart, and they like class. So love them until they see that you're different. Then they'll be jealous. How come their kids obey them? How come they're generous? How come they're forgiving us? We took their land. And then they'll come to know Jesus. Because they'll be jealous. And they have that capacity. They have that capacity to recognize class. Oh, remember when John Paul II visited over there? You know? And John Paul was saying, you know, you are our elder brothers. And they were saying, no, no, no. You're our father. You see? That's the way to go. But the zeal is the same as Elijah's. Take on the state by love and by showing an example of how we're supposed to live. Take care of the poor. Love. And then, you see, people will say, you know, that's the way to go. I don't have the guts to go that far, but at least I can stop underpaying my workers or taking advantage of the illegals who are here and paying them nothing. Because if they make me, give me any trouble, I'll just report them. Who's going to change that heart? Jesus Christ. And so we have this gospel and this reading, this example of Saint Elijah. And in the Jewish tradition, he's the one that comes at the hour of death. Did you notice it was in this text? Blessed is he who shall have seen you and who falls asleep in your friendship. Elijah is to the Jewish tradition what Saint Anthony is to the Catholic tradition. He's always around to help out. That's why at a banquet, there's always an extra chair empty, right? For Elijah, in case he wants to come. So I think today the message is, take the example of Elijah. You don't have to figure out what's wrong with the culture and then do the opposite. You just have to listen to Jesus. Just do what he tells you. That's what Mother Teresa did. I mean, she took on the whole nation of India and their whole way of treating the poor, you know. And when she started, the citizens of the country, the men, went to the mayor or somebody and said, stop that woman and those people who are working with her. Some of them are our daughters. You know, stop them, this foreigner coming and troubling our social structure. And he said, when your wives and your daughters are out there doing what they're doing, then I'll stop them. This is, I think, the day when we stop and say, Lord, not only how am I going to get ready for your mystical coming at Christmas to bathe the world in light, to give strength to the church, to, you know, but how am I going to live like Elijah? How am I going to worship you alone?